Hi, this is Alan.
And the Grizz.
Just a few quick messages before the start of the episode. First of all, thank you very much for listening to Rise of the Robots. If you can, we really appreciate it if you can rate and review us at the end of the episode, obviously, on your podcatcher of choice. Ratings and reviews are how we get onto the charts. Really, we would really appreciate it. Also, if you subscribe on your podcaster of choice, that'd be fantastic. Also, if you want to get in contact with us, well, you can email us at rotrpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also get in touch with us on our Facebook, which is Rise of the Robots, and our Twitter, at podcastrotr. That's podcast R-O-T-R.
And finally, just a reminder that Rise of the Robots is held under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 4.0 International License. Enjoy the episode. I'm Alan.
I am the Grizz.
And welcome to Rise of the Robots. This week we are going to be covering
Heat D
of Robot Wars series. So, yeah, this episode is quite fun and quite interesting. We have some,
I'm excited to talk about one robot in particular.
Absolutely. So we'll jump straight into the first triple threat match.
And said robot is in this match. From Essex, Crusader 2.
Now, I should put in advance that I am two things. One, a Scottish nationalist. And two, someone who doesn't like Little Englanders. So when you give me a robot with a St. George's cross on it, I am very much going to be against that robot, no matter how good it is.
Well,
which is a shame, because it is actually quite a good robot, no matter how shittily it was driven in the pinball last year.
Yes, exactly. And you know what? That was a robot I was referring to. From Southampton, Kronos.
Which is the same team that made Zeus, and this robot is marginally better.
Marginally better in terms of, you know, it actually kind of moved this time.
Yeah.
Whereas Zeus didn't do anything. Yeah.
It tried to impale itself on the floor and failed.
Which may have not been the worst idea in the world.
Yep.
And from Hampshire, seeded number 7, Steg 2.
Now with clear plastic armor and a flipper. And apparently,
yes,
the worst tires in Robot Wars history.
Oh, yeah. Because if there was one thing to take away from Steg 2's awesomeness, it is those wheels, because half the time that robot is traveling on air.
Yeah, you see the wheels are moving so fast and it's not moving. And it actually means that in this particular fight, the most dominant robot is Crusader.
Yeah, Crusader came out like a house on fire. I thought this was awesome.
I mean, it's slamming. Like,
and not only,
yep,
not only did it have such like pushing ability on Steg, but then also it got it up and then flipped it right onto the wall. And there was a minute there where I was like, hold on a second, Steg 2
do well in this series? Yeah,
yeah, because it sure as hell didn't look like it there.
That said, you get an indication of how powerful the flipper is when it self rates very easily.
Yeah, it was just because of it was more the way that it sat on the wall. Like, it was kind of looked like it was stuck there for a minute, because it did take time to get back down, but also it was kind of stuck in like dead metal zone.
Yeah. Here's a question.
So,
what side's the front of Stegosaurus?
I think the tail was on the back, so
yeah,
technically it needs to drive backwards to attack.
Yeah, it's strange.
Because that was the same case with it last year, with Stegosaurus. The flipper was on the back, and a lot of the time you found that Stegosaurus was just using its front because it had a lot of pushing power. But with this year, with the flipper being a predominant severe weapon, I'm quite surprised that they didn't just make that the front of the robot.
Absolutely. It's bizarre.
Then there was a big flip to Kronos as well. And despite the fact that Kronos was still moving, it just seemed to get mauled at one point by the house robots. And it got to this point where, I have in my notes,
I think Crusader does feed Kronos to the house robots.
But then,
But
then it could still move, but the house robots just wouldn't let it go.
Yeah, it is strange. One other thing I did notice, at some point, Steg 2, something goes on fire.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Was the other note that I had was that Steg 2 looked to be stuck in forward drive, like, because it was kind of like wedged up against the wall, and you could see the wheels were still going, but it just wasn't doing anything. So you maybe, like, something burnt up and it just kind of...
Was there maybe a bit of a screw was moving. Job here?
You think that the house robots just constantly attacked Kronos and dumped it to save Steg 2?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the second half of the note that I have here. Steg 2 looked to be stuck in forward drive, but luckily Kronos got murdered. So, I can't help but feel as if you might be right in that aspect.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll get on to the other freeway dance.
Yeah, so Kronos is eliminated, and Steg 2 and Crusader go through.
Sorry, is it Crusader or Crusader 2? I'm not...
It's Crusader 2, sorry.
Crusader 2. I'm just
calling it Crusader.
St. George's Boogaloo.
From Darlington. Mazakari.
Which, it's an invertible spinner that is painted in black, and no one knows what its name means.
Yeah, they're like, what does the name mean?
Let's find out.
Okay, good.
Okay, Mazakari.
It is a sex act where you take a dump in someone's eyes.
What?
Huh?
Is that... Because all that's coming up for Mazakari is the robot. It's not even coming up on Urban Dictionary.
Oh, you really Mazakari'd that one up?
What?
Never mind. Anyway, from Suffolk, Iron Ore.
Which is the start of the Iron Ore Dynasty. It is unfortunately by far the weakest performance from them.
Oh my god, yes.
Now, this is a team...
It's quite interesting. It's quite interesting that, looking at the Iron Awe wiki here, the Axe Awe isn't included in the thing. Obviously, it's a different name, but it's by the same team. So,
yeah, Iron Awe is
kind of odd.
This is one of these teams where, and Ripper kind of has the same problem of, the time that Iron Ore really came to its most prominent was when the cameras weren't there.
Yeah.
In that,
Ripper is always the name that I hear of this amazing robot. And other than Series 7, because, I mean, I've been hearing that, like, Ripper has been trying for years to get in Robot Wars, and the year it finally did, it had an alright season, but not anything spectacular. But then, as soon as Robot Wars gets cancelled, Ripper wins everything.
One other thing is, obviously, this version of Iron Ore is an axe robot as opposed to a flipper.
Yes.
Which, to be fair, it's a powerful enough axe that... This is the first time I've seen a robot self-right with its axe effectively.
Well, it's effective when it works, let's just say, because in the next fight it has, it does not work.
Now, there is one other robot left.
There sure is. Speaking of axe bots, from Cambridge, seeded number 23, Mortis.
And this is the time that I really start to realise, looking back on it, I really like the Mortis team.
Hmm.
And in particular, I actually like Rob Knight in this. The fact that he
seems to... Sorry, who?
Lucky bastard Rob Knight.
There you
in
go.
that he stopped giving a fuck. And it's
Yeah,
glorious.
He was so much more chill and likable this season. I mean, to be honest, I've always kind of liked Rob Knight, even when he was a bit of a cocky bastard. But I mean, I think that was that thing where he knew that, you know, Mortis were kind of perceived as the bad guy. So I think he just kind of lent into it a little bit.
Yeah.
But this season, like, no, he was a much more sort of, like, I think he was more himself as opposed to kind of playing, you know, a slightly more characterized version of himself.
Yeah.
Again.
So this match is the freaking Mortis show.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not using the axe because it's having axe problems inevitably.
Yeah, they were talking going into the match that the axe might not be working, so they started using the flipper arm a lot more in this fight.
Including, it gets a wonderful, at one point, it puts its lifting arm through the disc, through the gap in the disc of Mazikari, and just kind of starts trotting around with it.
Yeah, it was very panic attack-esque.
Uh-huh.
Like the whole lifting a robot onto your back and then just driving around with it.
And Iron Ore's kind of lucky that Mortis seems to want to destroy Mazikari more than it wants to destroy Iron Ore.
Well, I would personally argue that I think Mortis may have been a bit scared of Iron Ore, so he purposely kept out of Iron Ore's way, and the feeling was evidently kind of mutual because they seemed to not kind of collide with each other as much as they could.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Mazikari gets eliminated, and Iron Ore and Mortis advance.
But not before Sir Killalot can have some fun with Iron Ore. He picks Iron Ore up with the lance and throws it! Which makes you realize just how powerful Killalot is.
Yeah, totally. Like, I mean, with the lance, no less, like, the claws, you can understand, but the fact that you just kind of just plugged that right in there and just kind of yeeted it.
Yeah. Even though he was dominant in the previous fight, so Killalot decides to take the pinball off.
Yep, which I appreciate.
and thankfully, it ends up not really mattering because so our entrant this week is Stinger.
It sure is. The first thing Stinger does is almost drives right into the pit.
Yeah, it's...
It ends up in the pit, like, when the Dead Metal sends it in there. Thankfully, it's shallow enough it can get back out. But really, the only kind of things that it does is it manages to get one of the 50-point buffers, gets a couple of barrels, and hits the multi-ball. They only score 75 points, which was very disappointing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
At the same time, I don't feel like Stinger is the kind of robot that's built for this sort of thing.
Yeah, it's very much it's a battle robot.
Mm-hmm. A battle bot, some would say.
Hi guys, Alan
and the Grizz
here with a slight break from the main show. Just say thanks to the people about whom this podcast would not be possible. Firstly, to Greg Watt, who designed the Rise of the Robots logo, before I butchered it slightly.
Also want to give a quick shout out to Technolax, who do our theme song, Master Machine. You can check out Technolax on YouTube or their website at technolax.com to listen to all of their royalty-free tracks.
So we move on to the semifinals as Steg 2 takes on Iron Ore.
Awful.
Yeah.
Because it
if only
just...
it could be...
I mean, it does get
self-righted.
If only self-righted.
Could be Iron Awesome, but it's not.
It's Iron Ore... As I said, it seems to be Iron Awesome as long as a camera's not on it. Because the one time it gets back after becoming the... After becoming Iron Ore, instead of Iron Ore, the one time it appears on television, its flipper doesn't work because it's too cold. It gets shrinkage.
God damn it.
But to be fair, I'm sure we can all appreciate that. Well, all gentlemen can appreciate that issue.
Mm-hmm.
What does happen is that Steg 2, its flipper finally comes into its own, and it's really impressive.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, as I kind of alluded to earlier, does not work in this match. Like,
no, the axe just works, it's the rest of it that doesn't.
Well, in the way that, like, there was a couple of times where the axe swung and it just had no power behind it. It just kind of went bleh on top of Steg 2.
It does do, to be fair. So, Dead Metal grips Iron Ore and it does try and swing its axe at it.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, it's this kind of weird thing of two or three things happen at once that you don't see. So, Shunt gets an awesome blow on Iron Ore after it's dead. Steg flips over Matilda, which is not really being focused on. So it just kind of happens in the foreground as you're trying to watch Iron Ore get pulled apart.
Yeah, you just see like all the house robots mauling Iron Ore, and then Matilda just flies away.
And then Iron Ore tries to swing its axe at Sakillot. He takes that personally.
Yep. And Sir Kellogg, choppy his pee-pee.
Yes! It cut that axe off like WWE cuts the contracts of people asking for unionization.
Nice! We could go on about this, but, you know, I have other podcasts I can do that on.
Absolutely.
Right, okay, so this match ends. And it goes to a judge's decision.
How?
Why?
Iron Ore's not moving.
There was a whole reason why Iron Ore got, like, mauled by all of the house robots. And then Craig Charles comes out and goes, oh, well, the judges are going to make a decision on this. And it's like, really? Is it going to be a fucking hard decision?
Yeah, it's just... Anyway, the right decision happens, so who cares?
I mean, yeah, but... At the same time, I just didn't understand it.
So, we get to the other semi-final, mm-hmm. and I think this is Mortis's finest hour.
Interesting.
The only...
So, a half not working Mortis.
Well, you say that. I mean, it's in terms of Crusader goes from dominating the first match to being made to look like a bitch.
And considering your comments when we first seen Crusader, no doubt you enjoyed the point where Mortis's axe finally worked and went right through the flag.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's sort of, there's this moment where Mortis nails Crusader and you almost see Shunt go, no, this is how you do it. Bang! Well, the two of them this have an axe off again.
Not again.
Crusader gets mauled.
Yeah, again, I have in my notes, Crusader gets mobbed by the house robots, but he's clearly still moving.
Yeah, I suppose old habits die hard. Mortis in the arena, we must favour it.
Yeah, and then, that was all the notes I had of the match. It was quite brief. And then when they were kind of getting interviewed after the match, going back to what you were saying earlier about how Rob Knight was so much more likable in this season. It was kind of that way that, like, again, he seemed more himself when he was being interviewed and kind of stuff. Like, Craig Charles said something along the lines of, oh, yeah, I think this is your year, and you're going to go all the way this year. And Rob Knight was like, don't say stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably because
he knew Craig how Charles... bad the axe was damaged.
Yeah. Probably because Craig Charles doesn't know the fucking constant problems that Mortis has having this season, so...
Yeah. I think what you find is Mortis has always had a lot of problems because I think it's quite a complicated robot.
Yeah, it almost has the kind of
rapid problem
of it's more complicated than it should be, and that's its downfall. Is probably shit that needs to be done in Mortis. Probably takes a hell of a lot longer than it's given to sort said problems. And so it's always kind of going in, kind of limping and struggling. And sometimes it performs quite well, but evidently, like, this season, even before his opening match, it was like, yeah, something's up here.
And I've just realised there was two... Just seeing Mortis again, there's two jokes I forgot to lay in earlier, which is one, Mortis is back in black.
Hit the sack.
And two, I forgot to say last week that with the lad from Bolt of the Blue, we now have the complete Salt Shaker set. So the Salt will be Bolt from the Blue and the Pepper will be Leibot.
Leibot. Pepper Pot. You could pour pepper at that Leibot machine.
Indeed. So, yeah, Mortis wins quite easily. Crusader gets mauled. And before we get the awesome final, we get two sumo matches.
Yeah, one of the better sumo matches the same round as Smidzy. Sorry, mate, I didn't see you.
With the awesome jaws. I love those jaws.
They're awesome. I like how it is kind of more of a flipper than a grabber weapon.
And I love the fact... I think it gives it personality, the way it kind of... It flexes its jaw around.
It definitely does. Like, it looks like you could... You know, like, you get those bad lip-reading videos on, like, YouTube and stuff?
Yeah.
I think somebody could probably do something really funny with Smidzy. Like...
Yeah, when it's kind of flexing its jaw.
Smidzy lasts 14.11 seconds, but see, be honest, Smidzy, like, has the right idea of what to do when it comes to the sumo, because he's juking and dodging, and he's doing everything that you're supposed to do, because arguably, I think, unless you are maybe somebody like Tornado that has this pushing power, going head-to-head with Shunt is not the idea here.
I think what happens with Smidzy's It builds up confidence, and unfortunately, it begins to go too fast for its own good. Well, yeah. What actually happens is it's got the right idea, and then it just goes too fast at one point. Because there's only one other robot that kind of... I can't remember which robot it is, but there's one robot that... I'm sure it's either Behemoth or Exterminator.
I think it may be does, both.
Yeah, and they do the complete opposite tactic, which is they go... Where our scoop is lower than your scoop.
Because I'm pretty sure those are the two that last the full minute by just going head to head with Shunt.
Yeah.
And again, like that's the kind of thing that I just said of
if you're one of
the robots that knows you have that pushing power, by all means go for it. But Smidzy evidently is not that kind of robot, so it starts to use its quickness and. Yeah, as you said, I think it just kind of gets a bit overzealous. It gets a bit speedy. I mean, Smidzy is a fucking fast robot. And the way that it turns, it kind of swings it sort of like... It swings this sort of like butt side of the robot out. So it's not turning on like... It's not turning on a circle. It's like swinging. Yeah. And so I think like that sort of thing is what kind of messed it up. Because it eventually... ends up off. It only lasts 14 seconds, but I mean, it had the right idea.
Yep. And the other entrant is Caterkiller.
Yep.
Which it does okay. And then
This is where Playful Shunt rears its ugly head.
Yeah, because what happens is Caterkiller, one of its tracks gets stuck off the side, and then Shunt takes its time finishing the job, meaning that Caterkiller only just goes out before Smidzy's time.
Yeah.
To the point where because they're second and third in the standings.
This was the point that I kind of alluded to a few weeks ago when I mentioned Silly Shunt kind of rears its head eventually. When it does that weird thing where it's like, oh, I'll shove you to the edge, then I'm going to back up, and then I'm gonna stare you down, I'm going to, you know, frame this shot, okay, here it comes, big shot, boom, and it's like, but you wasted like 7 seconds or something doing that, like, if you just followed through, like you've been doing with everybody else, it was weird. Smidzy and Caterkiller end up second and third, as you say. With Onslaught still on top.
Only one to last 1:15 seconds.
Yeah.
Onslaught, which it's the definition of the robot that does well every time it does anything that's not the main tournament.
Like, Onslaught is one of those, like, undeniable, lovable underdogs because it's so tiny. But it's so tiny, despite the fact that it's arguably about the same weight as most of the other robots in the competition.
It's not arguably. It's actually one of the heavier robots. It's actually one of the ones that just I'm sure it borders on an 80-kilo robot.
Yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying. It looks so tiny and looks so... It looks like it can just be taken out at a moment's notice, but it is, like, the same sort of... It's the same weight as a lot of other robots.
Yep.
Because, like, you look at Onslaught, you would think that that would probably be in the, like, the featherweight division or something, but it's not. It's just... It's the way that it's...
It's
the way
so
that it's
densely packed.
Yeah. Okay, that's enough. That's enough internet for one day. I was just scrolling through Facebook there, and I just seen, like, this gif of this massive fat raccoon, like, cuddling in a cat, and the cat just looked so disinterested. I wish I could have a raccoon.
No, you don't. They literally would... Any chance of having a neat house is never going to happen.
Yeah, I barely have a neat house as it is. Fucking... with the two fats.
Hey guys, Alan here. Just taking a quick break from the podcast to let you know that if you are enjoying this podcast and you want to hear more, the whole archive is available either on your podcatcher of choice or on the Audio Boom website. Alternatively, if there is some other podcasts you would like to listen to between listening to us, there is a list published on the Robot Report of several of the most popular podcasts, a botcast list, as it's referred to on the website. We will have a link in the description of this podcast. So, on the botcast list at the Robot Report, it lists the podcast in question, a quick description about the podcast, and all the links that you can go on to access their episodes. The podcasts that are listed include Behind the Bots, Extreme Scrutiny Club, Roasting Robots, Roboteers Stand By, The Drop Zone, The Robocast, The Robot Wars History Podcast, The Shuntcast, and of course, Rise of the Robots. So if you check out that page, it will give you plenty of listening between now and your next episode of Rise of the Robots. Let's get back to the final part of this week's episode. The final is Steg 2 versus Mortis. Mortis is having some performance issues. The axe is done.
Pretty much, yeah.
So... the two robots clash. Mortis tries to flip once. And it's when you look at the flipper and you go, okay, now you come down. And it doesn't come down.
Any tip now. Come on.
And then what happens
go down.
Is, because that happens, it still possibly could have self-righted on the axe. Because the axe, I'm sure, has enough power to do it. But what happens is when it gets flipped, the way it gets flipped, the arm then gets in the way of itself writing.
Yeah, because the axe does come down at one point and actually gets stuck in the kind of weird groove of the Steg 2 flipper.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, oh, this may be your chance. You could potentially use this to kind of try and drag them around. But then they retracted the axe and I was like, ah, okay then. But... yeah, that whole time that we say that was when the arm was up. So, yep, Steg 2, in with a flip, over it goes. And because the Shremek, the lifting arm was still up, there was no way for them to self-right. Because it didn't seem to go back down.
Yep, absolutely.
And then that's what Lucky Bastard Rob Knight said in the interview afterwards was like, we didn't really have a chance when we got flipped because of the way the arm was. If the arm was in position, then we may have been able to do all right, but it just wasn't happening. And then they allude to building a new robot and saying that Mortis is kind of done, and then the team just never came back.
Yep, which apparently they did look at coming back for Series 7.
I heard that they were meant to be a part of the All-Stars tournament. That was one of the extreme seasons. Then they kind of pulled out, and that's why Danton Kia ended up in it, despite the fact that the criteria was meant to be robots that were in like 4 seasons or more, and Danton Kia obviously wasn't at that point.
Yeah.
I want to kind of look into that more. Again, maybe something we could ask the Arthur Ronda on the Trump posting page.
This is the second last time we see Mortis. We see what is probably Mortis's most triumphant moment in an episode that I really hope we get a particular person as a guest.
Oh.
Hi, Rira.
No pressure or anything.
So.
Ah, yes. I have just clocked on.
So, the trivia. As
Please.
We mentioned, this is the first time, this is the last time Mortis appears in the main competition. It's also, this heat marked the first appearance of Iron Ore.
As you said, the dynasty starts here.
Uh-huh. Also, if you looked at Mazakari's statistics, it might have looked quite unusual, since the statistics you saw were actually Mortis's.
Give me 1 second, because the statistics come up on the wiki. I am going to have a gander. Oh, I don't think... Wow. The one time where they actually don't come up.
Yeah.
God damn it.
So...
Because they came up for everybody else. Oh, no, wait, there they are. There you go. Yeah, axe and lifting ram weapons. Made from aerospace materials.
I don't think so, somehow.
Well, I don't see an axe or a lifting ram from Mazakari, so...
Yeah, it's a spinning axe and lifter. Actually,
oh my god! You know, that is one thing that I actually forgot to mention is the American version of season 4 called the Grand Champions. I watched the first episode of that to see if there was anything different, because so Grand Champions is the American version of season 4. It is 23 minutes long. So they cut out everything except the introduction of the robots and the matches. It has the American commentary, which we'll hear when we do
Extreme Wars.
Extreme Warriors and Nickelodeon Robot Wars and all that hoopla. But I watched the first episode purely to see if there was any kind of difference in the matches. Sadly, they're all the same. I was hoping that maybe something different might have happened.
Yep.
But apparently, according to the wiki here, it was changed for, and Mazakari got the correct stats in Grand Champions.
Oh, brilliant.
So, you know, if you watch that episode of Grand Champions, you will get Mazakari's actual stats.
So, both seeds in this heat fought Gravedigger in the previous series, though it was only shown in a review of Mortis's previous series performance.
Mm-hmm.
And along with Heat K, none of the competing robots in this heat competed in the Pinball Warrior or the Sumo Basho. Iron Orb appeared in the Celebrity Special, and Mortis appeared in the War of Independence.
I can't wait for these special episodes.
So, overperformer, I think it's difficult because it's each robot, I think, performed to about its limit.
Yeah.
Maybe Crusader 2, the fact it dominated its fight.
Yes, that is what I would I would put that down for. Like, Crusader 2 looked amazing in its first match, and then arguably was technically the only robot standing in that three-way.
Yeah, so underperformer, I don't like saying this because I think this is actually
a bit of a cop-out.
Mortis still cost 40 grand.
How many Chaos 2s?
80.
You could make 80 two-time UK champions for the amount of money they spend on Mortis.
What on earth? Because can you imagine if you put together, if you basically got George Francis to work, you've got 40 grand in the bank. There you go. Get George Francis to help you. They both sides win.
Yep.
Get George Francis to drive it and design it and engineer it and provide the money. There you go.
Boom. Okay, so
more chaos.
as you say, like, saying Mortis is a bit of a cop-out, so you know what? I want to kind of debunk that and say Iron Ore, I think, was underperformed because...
Compared to its legacy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think this, obviously, is one of these hindsight kind of things of...
It's more the fact that it's lesser son of a greater family.
Yeah. It's like the bastard son.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, it showed flashes of greatness. I mean, as you say, it's arguably the first robot that has an axe that was able to self-right itself, which was impressive. But then it just kind of didn't really do much after that fact.
Yeah, or before that fact.
I mean, like, if you want to look at, like, impressive compared to last season, Crusader and Steg 2 definitely run away with this award.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, Crusader was only in the pinball last year, but it kind of goes to show that Crusader could go.
Yep, absolutely. I think it's certainly the most... So is this the most impressive newcomer, yeah?
Yeah, so let's look at the newcomers.
So, technically, it lists Crusader 2 as a newcomer because it didn't compete in the main tournament.
Yeah. I mean, technically, yes, in that aspect it did. It is a newcomer because it hasn't had a fight until now.
Yeah.
So, really, I mean, technically, your only newcomers in this episode were Iron Awe and Mazikari, because Kronos had Zeus last year, and Crusader 2 was technically around last year.
So it's basically, do we say Crusader or Iron Ore, I think, is the question.
Yeah. I mean, we've got to say it's Crusader 2.
Absolutely.
If you want to look at it like that, Iron Ore would win by default if you don't want to take that in a technicality, because Crusader was on last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, why don't we just say both of them win it?
Absolutely. Now, most improved, because technically speaking, I think Steg 2 is less impressive than Steg.
I can understand that.
The fact that it's kind of it's skidding around with not really much grip, and also I think this is as fine a performance in match as I think Mortis has ever had. Well, the only time it's had a more impressive performance was against Leibot, and that was because Leibot's a jobber.
Leibot was a very thinly metalled coffin with a fucking pokey stick.
Yeah.
Its weapon was literally one of those litter grabbers that you used to get in school.
So I do think that I would argue that Mortis is the most improved. Plus, I think it looks sexy in that colour scheme.
It does. It looks incredible. Let's face it. That's the kind of thing. Like, I can completely understand why you're saying that Steg 2 is not as good in terms of... I mean, Stegosaurus had, like, the pushing power and it used that to its advantage to get as far into the competition as it did last year. But the addition of that incredible flipping arm is...
Oh, it's an incredible flipper, absolutely.
It's the rest of the robot that's the problem.
So,
or more specifically, the drive.
Yeah. So that brings us to an end of episode D. In fact, the end of this recording session.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. So next time out, and here's a funny thing.
Oh my God.
So episode D was the first episode of this, was one of the weaker episodes of the season in terms of drawing.
Okay.
The episode the next week drew 1.64 million more as it saw the return of...
What?
Napalm. Napalm's a draw, man!